It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us today. You have a purpose. Live with intention. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I really wish you a great day. Thank you to the great team I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting as well. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. In full disclosure, I'm behind on emails. I will be getting back to everybody within the next few days. I hate that when that happens, Steve, but it's been hair on fire busy.
Full disclosure, transparency, you should be in government.
I was for 4 years. I think I paid my dues on that. But speaking of that, everybody, I think, needs to do at least one thing, civic duty, serve on a board or a commission, or at least go to school board meetings and weigh in on your city council meetings, because it's just really important that we're involved in all of that. You can contribute to the work that we're doing. It is so important to keep all of these independent voices on the airwaves, and would really appreciate you supporting us because we're working diligently to engage in this battle of ideas as we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And be sure and tune in for America's Veteran Stories this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. Our interview is with World War II, 95-year-old World War II veteran Melvin Hurwitz. And these stories, Steve, are just, they're so rich, and it's just great to step back and think about what these guys did. It was just basically teenagers that stood up against the tyrants of Japan and Hitler and Nazi Germany, and they prevailed because we are Americans. We stand for liberty. But they're great stories, Steve.
You know, I get here early, so I was actually working on Sunday's show this morning, getting it, you know, pushed together into four segments and listening to Melvin and his voice, his clarity, and, you know, what you just said about, you know, these guys, their age, thinking through the 30s when they were going to the movies and seeing the, what is it, the movie tone, the newsreel at the beginning of the movie. Surely there were stories about what was, you know, what was happening on the world stage and what was going on in Europe. And next thing you know, they're there.
They're there. And they came from the farms and the cities and the towns and were willing to put it all on the line to stand against tyranny. And that is something that is really a bedrock of the American idea. The fact that these 13 little colonies hanging on the eastern seaboard decided to stand up to the most powerful nation on the face of the earth and say, we believe that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And when we talk about uniting, that is what should unite all of us, is those foundational principles that are in the Declaration of Independence. The girls were over last night, Steve.
Oh, geez.
You were gonna say something though?
Oh, well, you said use the word unite, and I thought that was a segue into, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but the Super Bowl commercial with Bruce Springsteen, it popped out yesterday that he was recently in the last couple months, arrested for driving while intoxicated in the state of New Jersey.
And is he in a Jeep?
Well, yeah, good question. Yeah, I think. But as the story unfolds and more details pop out, Jeep knew this when they put this commercial together, and now Jeep is scrambling to get that commercial off of any of the streaming services where it might have showed up. So, once again, we have the elites preaching at us, and like I asked you earlier, the question is, where was Springsteen last summer when all the cities were burning? And, you know, if you heard anything from him at all. It was bashing Trump. And now he's going to preach to us on unity. This stinks.
I'm getting the feeling that their unity is sit down and shut up and conform. And that is not unity. The girls were over last night. We had really robust discussions. And everybody's questioning, what do we do? And what happens with, and there's, I think there's a difference between Republicans and conservatives. And we talked a little bit about this. And conservatives, the word conservative has been given a bad rap from a political standpoint. But you think about everything else, the left loves the word conserve, conserve this, conserve that, conserve this. But what conservative means is to conserve the things that are in the Declaration, that we are all created by God equal, and that we have these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that is something that we should be able to unite around and then make public policy around that. The founders knew that if government got too big, we were going to have a real problem, and we're looking at it, and we have a real problem. And so that's, we need to work and we need to unite to conserve these principles of the American founding. But I didn't watch the Springsteen commercial, and quite frankly, there's so much going on, I didn't pay attention to it. My understanding is, as he said, unite, and then there was like a red star, and it didn't sound very American to me. And to your point then, apparently, you know, he's an elitist. Where was he this summer when people's businesses were being destroyed? Their hopes and their dreams were being destroyed by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which we just yesterday we went through it again. If you go to Antifa.com and click on it, it goes to the White House website. It's unbelievable to me. And then Black Lives Matter, if you go to that website and donate, it goes to Act Blue, which is the big fundraising arm of the Democrat Party. And I've got to think that if half the Democrats out there, these blue dog Democrats that I think really do care about our country, but they need to do a bit more digging on what is actually going on out there. And that's why we talk about the battle of ideas, to hopefully arm you so that you can engage with them in conversation and start to open eyes. And I know that eyes are being opened, Steve. And like I said, it was great to have the girls over last night. The discussions were robust. We don't always agree on everything, but it sure is good to kick the tires on all of these ideas. And of course, I got Hooters wings. I got the Texas barbecue Texas barbecue rub smoked wings. And they are like candy. They are so good, Steve.
Yeah, the one night I had the courage to show up at that event, I was...
Well, men normally are not invited.
We're
sexist.
But there was your primary guest that night was, you know, a man.
C.L. Bryant.
Yeah, that was worth the trip. But I made the mistake of cutting in line a little bit. Next thing I know, I was standing in the backyard. So do not get in the way of those wings.
That's for sure. And so then, Wednesday's our wings day. It's for to-go orders or dine in. But go to HootersColorado.com for more information. They have all kinds of specials, and really appreciate all of these great sponsors I get to work with. And Hooters restaurants are one of those. They have 5 locations: Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Loveland, and Colorado Springs. And actually, go to my website, because we put all the specials on their Hooters landing page. So go to my website, because all of that is there. Let's jump over here. We're going to talk to Karen Levine in a little bit. Dr. Jill Vecchio is going to be on. We're going to talk about hope, which I think is very important. And then Holly Kaysen is co-founder of the U.S. Election Integrity Project, and we'll be talking with her in segments 3 and 4. But our quote for today: the impeachment proceedings are going on. And I thought this was really a good quote from Thomas Paine. He was an English-born American political activist, philosopher, political theorist, and revolutionary. He authored Common Sense and The American Crisis, the two most influential pamphlets at the start of the American Revolution. And I guess Twitter shut him down. Did you know that, Steve?
No, I didn't.
But he helped inspire the Patriots in 1776 to declare the independence from Great Britain. He was born in 1737. He died in 1809. And this is what he said: freedom has been hunted around the globe. Reason was considered as rebellion, and the slavery of fear had made men afraid to think. But such is the irrestible nature of truth that all it asks and all it wants is the liberty of appearing. I thought that was pretty darn good, Steve.
Again, as so often happens with these quotes that are 200 years old or more, and they just drop right in like a puzzle piece. Now, I would say that there's a distinction. Now we are afraid to think because of, you know, the outcome, the potential outcome. But for the last 30 years ago, we have basically dismissed thinking that it was just too much trouble. So anyway, awesome quote.
Yeah, we have gotten lazy on all of and engaging in the battle of ideas. And maybe it's not so much lazy. Don't you remember when they said that you don't talk about politics or religion in polite company? And then all the while, the far left is taking over politics and religion, and we were just thought we just had good manners.
Every time every time you bring that point out about me being told not to discuss those things, and we dutifully did that, and you know, I think we were had.
Oh, and now we can, but you know, but it is not over. We are searching for truth. We are engaged in the battle of ideas, and we are Americans. We stand on the shoulders of giants. We need to remember that. Speaking of Americans, Karen Levine, who is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show, she's an award-winning realtor with REMAX Alliance. She also sits on the National Board of Realtors. She sits on the Government Affairs Committee here in Colorado, and she is a fierce protector of private property rights. Karen Levine, welcome to the show. Karen, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, good to talk with you. I just had talked about you and your great protector of private property rights, and they certainly have been under assault. Wanted to just ask you a question. I saw that the Denver City Council just passed a change in their zoning regarding the number of people that can live in homes, and I wanted to. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's been I would say a robust and long debate between the citizens of Denver and their city council, and it's been going on for several years. And it's really a result of neighbors wanting to live peacefully and quietly, and our assault on home ownership and the lack of inventory. People are having to come together in households, and when you have multiple families come together, it's construed as being loud and obnoxious, et cetera, et cetera. So city council has arrived at a decision where 5 unrelated adults can live in a single-family household in Denver.
And the concern has been probably more like the frat house next door, parties and loud noise, something like that. And we have a responsibility to be good neighbors with each other.
Exactly. And, you know, you get, as in any case, you get a few bad players, bad neighbors, whatever, and they cause limitations of people's rights that are not bad neighbors.
Where is Denver on Airbnbs? Are they regulating that at all? I mean, we didn't really talk about this, so I'm not trying to throw you for a loop on that, but where do you know where they are on that?
Yes, and there are limitations that, and I don't know the exact ordinances or if it's still in discussion, but I do know we've had several conversations at the realtor organization, and it has to do with private homeowners have one set of rights, but if you're an investor, then you have different sets of rights as far as leasing out your property in an Airbnb environment or a VRBO environment. And I know City of Lakewood has taken on that issue, as have other communities throughout the state. And, again, taking away the rights of the private property owner, many who've made investments in these properties with the intent to be able to do those things.
And this is probably a bigger discussion, but in some ways it seems like some of these elected representatives are, or politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties are changing the rules depending on who's involved. So let's stay tuned on that. I know that inventory is super tight. What's going on with that right now?
Inventory continues to be super tight, and our home buyers who are looking at single family homes under 500,000, but really across the gamut, are generally, if they choose to put forth an offer, are generally one of two dozen other buyers who are looking to buy, and that is causing prices to jump per every transaction. And so today's house is more expensive tomorrow, which will be much more expensive next month. And it's a challenge for these homeowners to try to get in and become homeowners. But they're being creative, and the American spirit is to find solutions. And realtors like myself and buyers are getting creative, and they're doing things to become homeowners. And that's exciting, but it is very treacherous out there. It's very challenging. We only had, in the last 7 days, 939 new homes come on the market, but we did put 1,783 homes under contract, and at that rate, we just continue to deplete any available housing.
And it's been public policy that's been going on. Well, Steve and I were talking, not talking politics or religion, we've seen public policy that has really reduced the construction of single-family homes. And Karen, I know that you are recognizing that and working on a national level to try to change that. Thank you. And I recommend that people have you on their side of the table when trying to buy or sell a home or a new build. How can people reach you, Karen?
They can reach me at my direct line number, which is 303-877-7516. And if you have a question about home ownership, becoming one, or selling a home, I entertain your questions and your phone calls.
And your landing page is on the Kim Munson website. Again, that number is 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Kim. You guys have a great day.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is my good friend, Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She's one of the few people that read the Complete Unaffordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. But she really researches everything. If she gets a subject, she will know everything about it. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Well, it was great. The girls got together last night. The discussions were very robust. And as we were talking, as you were going out the door, you said, Kim, I think we need to talk about hope today. I think that's a great subject. What's your thoughts, Jill?
What was interesting last night, you had a great crowd of really great women, and you kind of go around the room and kind of say, you know, what's on your mind right now? Every single person in that room referenced the fact that we need to keep the faith and have faith and continue to pray for God to save our country, basically, because we're feeling desperate, and that means that their evil plan is working, because we're feeling helpless and hopeless and depressed and desperate between COVID and the election. People being censored from the censorship in the media. It feels like we feel like we're being hit from all sides, and we feel like we can't do anything about it. So the plan that they've had to institute widespread despair in our country has worked. You look at even look at Amazon, like Amazon Prime. I have Amazon Prime. You look at Amazon, Netflix, HBO. Look at the shows that they are producing on all of these outlets. They are so dark and depressing, and they just keep getting darker and darker and darker. You look at media, you look at the music industry, for crying out loud, demonic symbols everywhere, music videos, Katy Perry's music videos of cannibalism and devil worship. I mean, it's insane what is being shoved at us from all sides right now. And you can't help understand why people are feeling desperate. Like, I don't mean desperate as going to do something radical, although there's a lot of suicide these days, but kind of despair, depression.
Well, yes, it is certainly very concerning out there. But regarding hope, I heard a pastor or a priest recently say that nothing happens without God either allowing it or causing it. And as we looked at our Thomas Paine quote that we had today, and don't know if you heard that, Jill, but it's very appropriate for what's going on today. And I think we need to, first of all, take heart in knowing that we as humans have been here before, and that it is part of the human condition that there are those that want to, quote unquote, rule over others. And that's what's so amazing about the American idea, is that we, the people, are ruling ourselves. And I think that it's important to understand that that is what is inherent about the American experiment and the American idea, and that we are Americans. And there are things that we can do. We're going to be talking with Holly Kaysen in segments 3 and 4 about election integrity. There are things that we can do to get involved on the local level. And I don't know if you saw this, Jill, but Patty had found this headline up here in Windsor, which is a great little town. The mayor, Mayor Paul Rennemeyer, told residents on Monday that he wants them to stop questioning decisions made by town government as part of the ongoing state of emergency around COVID-19. It was a prepared statement he read at the end of the town board meeting that Windsor's in the state of emergency and will remain there until everyone around them decides it's safe to move on, and that town manager Shane Hale will continue to have carte blanche authority to lead the town without prior approval from the board. Well, something that people can do is get involved and with your city councils and your county commissioners and start to, I think we need to push them to get our businesses opened up without restrictions, because these are things that people can do that can give them hope. What's your thoughts about hope, Jill?
Well, I think based on the discussion last night, I kind of take a little bit different approach. I mean, I agree with everything you've said, and we have talked about that. Yes, you need to get involved. I think more on a kind of a philosophical level and spiritual level, I think before we can start asking for, you know, miracles, someone else to help us, and that's not like I'm taking a little bit different angle. Before we can ask someone else to help us, before we can expect God to help Donald Trump to help us, or before we can expect God to help us, I think we all have to look at our lives, the world around us, the culture and society that we have allowed to be created. And we have to take responsibility for the role that we inevitably had in allowing that to happen. Until you recognize the level of corruption, the level of infiltration in our culture, society, government, business, all around us, until you recognize the level of corruption that has been allowed by us to proliferate, you're not going to be able to fix the problem. The whole thing, let's just move on. That kind of drives me crazy, because you're just going to, you know, you're going to make the same mistakes over and over and over. And mankind has made these mistakes over and over and over. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, you read Lamentations, you know, in the Bible, and it's like, folks, own up to what you have allowed to be created. Ask for forgiveness, ask forgiveness of God, and then you can move on. then you can start to heal. And then you can take an active role with God's help in fixing this.
So I think what you're saying is let's have some introspection. And when I end the show with read great books, listen to good and beautiful music, really, we only have 24 hours in a day. And therefore, we need to be very mindful of how we spend that time. And Dr. Jill Vecchio, it's always great to talk with you. And we've got these great podcasts that we've done, and people can find those at kimmunson.com. And you just really make me think. So thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Take care, everybody.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. The market has been watching the impeachment proceedings and hasn't really done anything. How about yesterday? What happened?
No, Kim, yesterday it was pretty quiet as well. One of the quietest days we've seen. The Dow was up a small amount, 61 points, when an index is at 31,000, you could say that's a pretty small move. Same thing pretty much across the board, Kim. The S&P 500 was down 1 point. NASDAQ yesterday was down a small amount, 35 points. Now, NASDAQ had a pretty big volume increase yesterday, so it looked like, some profit-taking is coming in. Maybe it's just getting a little bit tired after such a big move, and this was a little bit of stalling type action on the index. But for the most part, the markets just yawned and looked the other way as far as the impeachment went. This morning, the Dow futures are up about 80, and the S&P futures are up about 15, so it looks like unless something changes, we should see a fairly decent open.
Jason, during inflationary times, and actually maybe this is a question for tomorrow, when inflation starts to kick in, what happens to the stock market?
Well, I would say most of the time the stock market can be inflationary as well. People may flee away from assets that would shrink, like the dollar, possibly, or currency, and they may actually buy stocks. So I think it's tough to say for sure, but I don't see any reason that stocks couldn't also inflate in price as a place for people to try and hide.
Okay. Well, I would recommend people sit down with you and do a discovery session, because when we talk about politics as local, well, your economy is local too. Your own personal economy is important. And Jason, you've been around for a while. You've seen ups and downs in the market, and you can help people with their plans to try to get to their economic well-being. How can people reach you?
Easy way, Kim. Just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
We'll do. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Holly Kaysen. She is a co-founder of the U.S. Election Integrity Project, and they're starting right here in Colorado, so stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Holly Kaysen. I met her recently, And she made a presentation regarding election integrity. And my friends, if we cannot trust our elections, then we really don't have a country. And Holly is very impressive, and she is a co-founder of the U.S. Election Integrity Project, and they're starting here in Colorado. So I thought it would be great to get Holly on the show and talk about something that gives us hope, and we can do this. Holly Kaysen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Well, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Holly Kaysen. I have been living in Colorado for the past few years. I live up in Summit County, and I am an entrepreneur. I have a business called SwitchToUSMade.com. It's basically a search engine that helps people find U.S.-made products. And I also have a blog. My blog is HollyAtAltitude.com. And I got involved in Colorado politics after being an election judge this year. And I was also a poll worker, a poll watcher. So I was able to see the whole process of a ballot from beginning to end and how it gets issued to how the computer systems work to how the process works in the voting centers, counting and signature verification, the whole deal. And after that, I got very active in election integrity here in Colorado.
Well, and you worked in Silicon Valley, so you understand all of this computer stuff that happens, right?
I do. I don't code, but I have a very good grasp of how these systems and integration works, especially with these, you know, the electronic poll books, how the signature verification works. And I just saw so many opportunities for malfeasance to happen. And what people need to realize is that there are so many hands that touch your ballot, especially in a mail-in ballot state. And each one of those points is an opportunity for fraud to happen. And then with the addition of technology injected in between a voter and their ballot, that becomes a black box. And we don't have control as voters over what happens when that technology touches our ballot. And that's where things get really confusing, I think, for a lot of people. And even people who work in the election system.
The presentation that you made really struck me when you said that when the radical activist progressives decided to kind of have a petri dish, if you will, Colorado was the perfect place for this because of our demographics, that we have the rural, a big rural part of the state, and then we have the metro area. And if in fact you can flip just a few of these counties, you can actually flip the whole country. And they have been very successful at that, Holly.
Yes, indeed. There are a few factors that make Colorado actually the perfect place to test and learn how to do election fraud. You know, the one thing that I looked at during the election were the swing states. And I started looking at the patterns of what was going on in those swing states. Now, granted, the actual election fraud was different. It was kind of a different mix in each one of those swing states. I think of it like a salad bar, right? There are so many different ways that you can fiddle with an election. And it depends on, which ingredients you use. And by the end, you have a salad. You know, if your salad might be carrots, beets, and lettuce. Mine might be cottage cheese, pretzels, and spinach. But it's still a salad at the end. So when I looked at those parallels, I thought none of this could have been done without a lot of testing and learning. And so I started looking at Colorado, and based on my training here, it became very clear, as an election judge, it became very clear what was happening. First is Colorado brands itself as the gold standard for elections. And this has been going on for years. And what this means is that everybody wants to follow Colorado. And Colorado seems to be the gold standard for elections. That doesn't mean it's good. It just means that Colorado has branded itself as such. So once that happens, that branding, these state election officials, secretaries of state, county clerks, they all gather into national groups and they exchange ideas and they try to figure out how to make elections better. Well, if Colorado is the gold standard, the rest of the states are trying to follow Colorado. Now, we had mail-in voting very early in 2013. We were the third state to adopt mail-in voting. And that is really the linchpin to all of this, more so than even the machines. And so, we had mail-in voting early. We figured out how that all works. We have messy voter rolls, which is a computer system that can be manipulated. In fact, there's been a lawsuit by Judicial Watch against Colorado and the Secretary of State for having such bad voter rolls, which means the list of people who are getting ballots, they could be deceased, they could have moved out of the state. There's just not a lot of scrutiny on the validity of that database. So, and then we have Dominion. Dominion had their headquarters here in Colorado, in Denver. And that's been an issue. Everybody knows the name Dominion now, but it's not just Dominion. All of the voting machines can cause the same problem because those machines aren't that complicated. And what makes them run is the software that you put into them. So you could have, for example, an ESNS machine, which is another brand of voting machine, or a Dominion machine, and you could essentially be running the same software on that hardware. So, it can go on and on, and our population is a big deal. There are only five counties that are really key when you look at population density for flipping the whole state of Colorado. If you can control those cities, those counties, you can control the state. And that's not very difficult to do, considering the number of people. We don't have very high density population here, just in general. Even in our cities, it's not that dense. So it's possible with not very much money in relation to these major campaign budgets. Colorado is relatively cheap. You get a high ROI on your campaign spend here. So there's a lot of motivation because Colorado stays under the radar. We only have 9 electoral votes. So it kind of keeps us off of the main stage when the analysis is done for where are the key places to control in order to win an election. Unlike we're not like Georgia or California, we don't have that scrutiny on us as a state. So that also helps people operate more in the shadows and going along without being recognized for what they're doing.
Well, you mentioned being an election judge and a poll watcher, and I was with a number of women recently at one of our Topics and Topics meetings, and many of them had been, I guess it would be election judges for the very first time. And it was in one of these metro counties that is being run by radical activist progressives. And the county clerk there told them that they could only challenge the signature verification of a certain percentage of ballots. Now, that doesn't make sense, Holly, because if a signature doesn't match, it doesn't match. And then, of course, then you mentioned that they said, and we are the gold standard. And, of course, you say gold standard and people think, oh, that means it's high quality. Not so much. But I found that absolutely fascinating that there would be a quota. You couldn't challenge any more than a certain percentage of signatures that came in.
That's exactly right. I ran into that myself because I did watch signature verification. And what they would do is they check you in to the voting center. Actually, it's the counting center, and they give you three pieces of paper that are kind of these just little cut off pieces of paper, and you can only use three. And if you challenge, you have to submit one of these homemade pieces of paper, and if you're wrong about your signature challenge, if the signature judges overrule you, then you lose one of your pieces of paper. If you're right, then you get to keep your three challenges. And so it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on poll watchers because, you know, you're scared to actually do your job. Now, the one thing that everybody should really know about is the signature verification process is not good from the start. And the reason why is because everybody gets signed up to vote from the DMV. If you get a license, you automatically have the option to be registered as a voter. Now, what this means is that if you're not supposed to vote, for example, you might not be a citizen, but you can still get a driver's license, it's an opt-out program. And a lot of people don't know this. So they innocently go in, get their driver's license legally, they're registered to vote, and they don't know they're not supposed to. But the thing is when we sign for our driver's licenses, it's an electronic pad, and you use your finger to sign for the most part, or one of those stylus pens. And so that signature that's captured on those electronic pads is nothing like what a signature looks like with pen and paper. I mean, there's absolutely no parallel there. So the amount of signatures that go through that are not anything like a pen and paper signature is off the chart. So that's the start of the problem with signature verification in Colorado.
Holly, let's go to break and continue on. I've always been intrigued regarding, you said that mail-in balloting occurred in 2013 in Colorado. And at the time, I was just starting to pay attention, and I'm thinking, that's not such a great idea. But then also the expense to send out all these ballots, particularly when you don't clean up the voter rolls, is, I think it's somewhat staggering. So I would like to talk to you about the expense on that as well. I'm talking with Holly Case, and she's the co-founder of the U.S., the United States Elections Integrity Project, starting here in Colorado, which is a great place to do that. Before we go to break, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, family-owned business, is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you are a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. One of these weekends, I'd recommend to go on down to Sedalia, check out Castlegate Knife and Tool. There's some great restaurants down there, and it's such a taste of Americana there in Sedalia. So check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Holly Kaysen.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. This morning, we're talking with Holly Kaysen, and she served as a poll watcher, an election judge for the 2020 election here in Colorado. She has an IT background, worked in Silicon Valley. So she has an understanding of what can occur in elections. And she has co-founded a new company. It's the U.S. Election Integrity Project. And I this is key, my friends. We have got to get these elections where we can trust them again. But when we went to break, I asked Holly or made a comment about the expense of mail-in voting. It's got to be astronomical, particularly when we don't clean up these voter rolls, Holly.
Yes, the cost is fairly expensive, but it's also expensive to run elections in person because you need to have quite a few staff members, human hands. A lot of the county clerks wanted mail-in voting at the very beginning because it was easier for them to process ballots having them mailed in. One of the things that we should be working towards is to shrink the month-long voting season in Colorado. That is a very big problem. We should be working towards one person, one vote, in person, on election day. We should not be having mail-in ballots that can't be verified who's filling out the ballot, where it's coming from. We shouldn't be using technology to count ballots or to verify signatures. That should be a human process. And we shouldn't be voting for a month. We should be voting on election day and counting on election day. Now, the folks who run elections have a lot of pressure on them. It's very difficult to follow all these rules and get everything organized, have multiple voting centers. And so I do, you know, have some sympathy for them in the fact that they want voting machines because it helps process votes quicker. And I think there needs to be a solution for that. And their justification for using voting machines is that it's more accurate than human counting. I would propose that we use voting machines as a second level of security rather than our first line of defense for issuing and signature verification and counting ballots.
Okay, you are the co-founder of the U.S. Election Project. In Colorado, when you gave your presentation and you said that the radical activist left basically used Colorado as a petri dish to introduce and perfect different strategies that they're going to implement, and that is one of the reasons that Colorado has been turning blue, I realize that means there's opportunity for freedom-loving people, the people that built Colorado, rugged individuals, that we have a great opportunity to use this to our advantage and to move Colorado back to a state that really cares about the American idea and cares about freedom and fair elections and honest elections. I think that we have an opportunity, a big opportunity. And I know that you are starting here in Colorado with your project. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, the USEIP is a grassroots organization, and our main goal is to work towards election integrity. And we have a Colorado chapter. The goal of the United States Election Integrity Project is to have all the states who are, you know, interested in working on election integrity have a place that can connect everybody so we know what other states are doing, what we're working on, this and that. Within Colorado, our Colorado chapter aims to have representation in every single Colorado county. And we work tirelessly with other groups who are also interested in election integrity. Within our group, not only networking, but we also initiate our own projects. And how we plan to fight for election integrity is through representing election officials, becoming election officials, and participating in local politics all the way from school board to GOP membership, voting rights in the GOP, to representation, you know, across the board. But that's only one front, and we can't necessarily rely on our elected officials to really back us in all of this. So we are also going to be initiating legal fights in challenging what we believe might be illegal laws and election laws. And we also plan on writing legislation and getting our legislators to back some of the new ideas that we have for election integrity. In fact, we've already written one bill that we hope will go through the House. One of our representatives, Ash, has been working on writing bills and legislation to help Colorado clean up our election process.
Well, how can people become involved? You know, where would they go to this project, or how can people start to do something?
Sure. If you go to www.useip.org or .us, we have two different URLs that both go to the same place. You can find out about the project. And if you really want to get involved, we vet our members pretty heavily because we like to protect the privacy and integrity of our group. And so you can fill out a form that's very easy to find, and you can get into the deeper parts of the organization and start meeting new people, getting involved by doing tasks or giving your input. And from there, we just start working. I mean, it's a very new organization, and so we're just going for it. You know, we're working really hard. We've gotten in front of the state house already with our complaints about the 2020 election, and we have five more states that are being stood up right now to be able to create this momentum to fight for election integrity.
Okay, and again, what is that website?
It's www.useip.org or www.useip.us.
Okay. Let's switch gears just a little bit, Holly, and talk about your new company that is helping people buy U.S. products. We've got about 3 minutes.
Okay. So it's called Switch to U.S. Made, and it's a website. What I'm doing is creating a situation where if people are shopping online and you put an item into your shopping cart, my browser plugin, which I can explain on my website, it's very easy. It's like an app for your browser. It goes out and finds the U.S. made version of the product that you have in your cart. And the products that I connect with the ones that you're shopping for are all vetted. We want to make sure that they really are U.S. made. We go into potentially the materials that go into your U.S. made product. Is it truly from the U.S. or is it sourced somewhere else? And we also go into the retailers. You know, what types of folks are selling the products? One of my friends said it best when he said, you know, I'd really like to buy U.S. made products from companies that don't hate me because I'm a conservative. And I said, yeah. Me too. I think that would be kind of nice. So that's what we're working on with Switch 2, and you can find it online at www.switch2usmade.com.
Okay. I find that really fascinating because we like these businesses because they've been creative and they've had great products. I've had great discussion with a good friend of mine about Microsoft, Bill Gates. My gosh, what he has done with Microsoft and everyday people, it's empowered us to do a lot of different things. But then it's been astonishing that this country that has allowed that to happen, a lot of these people don't seem to like the country that has made this happen for them, made them fabulously wealthy. And then they actually, as you mentioned, don't like a whole bunch of their their customers. So I think this is very, very creative. Holly Kaysen, thank you so much for joining me today. And again, that other website is Switch, the number two, USmade, you said, .com, correct?
.com, right. And it's not operational yet. I'm still taking signups for it, but we're working on it. So, yeah, that's where we are with Switch 2. And, Kim, I just really appreciate the interview. It's been really fun to talk to you this morning.
It's been great. And we'll do this again, Holly Kaysen. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. And our quote for today is Thomas Paine. He said, "A body of men holding themselves accountable to nobody ought not to be trusted by anybody." Let that sink in. Today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM, AM 560 and 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com.